I find that on the topic that we're dealing with about pressure, that a lot of people they're in these high pressure situations because, of course, what did it say that under there that sometimes we cause our own pressure to be put upon us, right? There's the physical system, we called it, the response of pressure seen in heart-related problems, and it's we talked about fear and different things and being anxious, and then we talked about there's these pressures put on because of the schedule, and I mentioned about, for the most part, there are people putting pressure on us, but yet a lot of us that we allow that pressure into our lives. Okay? The people put the pressure on us, but then we allow it into our life by saying, yes, I will do it, or this, you know. Oh, you want me to work two extra days? Sure. You know, that kind of thing. Or, you know, we put that pressure on us, right? And then there's pressure put on because of finances. There's pressure put on for all of these things. There's peer pressure, which is a social pressure. And I said keeping up with the Joneses, having the latest name brand items and everything like that, right? And so there's all of those things cost more money, and then that puts pressure on for you to earn money. And we go on with it continues. Then we ended up with personal, setting unattainable goals. We put these pressures on us, we're going to do this. And unfortunately, the same type person that will say yes to everything and I can do it and I want to do more, they're the same ones that will, when they realize that they're overburdened, right? So they go over with the same zeal to correct the problem. Okay, now follow me when I'm trying to say this. So we're on page, it should be on page 12, and then under D and E, that's where we're at right now. Did I give you it?
We're on page 9. Page 9 for us.
Oh, I'm sorry. Page 9 for you. I'm sorry. That's right. There's different pages. He's got 7? Wow, that's interesting. Let's see here. So, did you find one?
No.
Oh, it's okay. Let's see here. I got 11, 12... And we're looking for page 9. Does somebody have a blank page 9? Oops. I have a page 9. How many need it? Does somebody have page 9? And you need 8 too?
Just today's and going on.
8 and 9? Okay. Do you have page 8 and 9 for you? You got page 8 and 9? Okay. Okay, well, I can't hear you.
Do you have your mic on?
Yeah, as far as I know. He set it up, right? So it says here, I'm 12 minutes, and we haven't started anything yet. So so go. So the person that gets all this pressure on them and overpressure, right, because they either say yes or they want this or they want that, a lot of times these people are highly motivated people. So then when they realize that, okay, I'm way overboard here. So then with the corrective action, they go at it with that same zealousness, and all it does is add more pressure to them. Okay, they don't know how to correct the problem. And I guess so, I've been thinking on this since last week, actually. And how you dismantle the problem is a process. It's not to be done in a week, because you're not going to be able to do it in a week. How long did it take you to get into the situation? And if you say, well, this pressure that I've allowed on myself, whether it be school, work, you know, everything associated, and you're under this great pressure and you're starting to have anxiety attacks and your digestion is all messed up and you're losing hair in clumps and, you know, that kind of thing. Now, really, these kind of things happen when people are under great stress. And And so when you realize that, then you have to disassemble that. And a lot of times in zeal, we're not really following and understanding the scripture. So we overdo in many areas and we put even more pressure on ourselves. Now, the way that I'm trying to explain to this, if it took you a lifetime to build this up, then dismantling it needs to be, it isn't a explosion and it all comes crumbling down, okay? You're going to have to stop at the top floor of your life and dismantle it as you go down. So you'll be able to bear it. You can't make all the changes in a week or in a month because some of them are lifestyle changes that are very hard to do. And, you know, when we talked about motivating factors like fear and pride and different things, those are very difficult. You know, there's a spiritual exercise that has to happen first for you to implement the changes. So, yes, there are changes, and yes, we're going to want to make those changes. But I would tell you that if you're really at this point, then change one thing at a time. And then when you're successful at that, then go on to the next thing. Don't pick five things to change at once. Just one at a time, okay? And let the Lord help you in all of this, okay? That's my advice because if you go to make the changes and you make too many, then you're going to fail at it, and that just compounds the problem of your life. So then you feel like a failure because you've let it happen, and then you feel like a failure because you can't correct it. Right, and that's a circle that you don't want to get on. You don't want to get on that circle. So then there's principalities that we're dealing with. That's item E, and that is spiritual. So I believe that the Bible teaches that there is a spiritual warfare going on, and even though I really don't see a demon behind every tree. Okay, demons aren't the cause of all of our problems. Actually, sin is the problem, you know. But demons aren't the cause of all of our problems, but there is a spiritual warfare going on, and I don't want to minimize it because of how you're tempted. According to James, how are you tempted? And the spiritual war, how are you tempted, as it says in James? Do you know the book of James? Speak loud, please. Okay, that's true, right? The Lord won't allow you to be tempted above. But in James, it tells you that there is this enticing, and a person is sin out of our own lusts. Okay, so out of your own lust, if you are in spiritual warfare, if it does get personal, then it comes out, and he's enticed, is what the word says, out of his own lust. And so I call that, in my experience, I call that this perfect temptation. In other words, you have a lust and you're struggling with that lust, and then a temptation comes right in that area at maybe some of your weakest times. The Lord didn't tempt you in that area, okay? But the adversary could be. And so there is a spiritual warfare. Let's go to Ephesians 6:11. And who are we going to start with? Who wants to start? Chris, why don't you start today, okay? You'll start in the back. Ephesians 6:11. And then we're going to just read through 13. Yes.
Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For ye wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand. You may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand.
Okay, and having done all to stand. Okay, so he's telling us that there are this wiles of the devil, and what are wiles? What it talks about, the wiles of the devil?
Schemes,
tricks, yeah, all the rest of it, tripsticks, all the rest of it, the wiles of the devil. And how long has he had to practice these? A long time, right? And why does he always use the same things? He uses same thing. He used it with Eve, and then he used it with the second Adam, Christ. And why does he use the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life? Why does he use that? Is he ignorant? Is he just a creature of habit? Why does he use those three things? That's right, because it works. Okay? And that's why he continues to use those three things. Because as our human condition, which he understands very particularly, he uses that. And so you're supposed to be armed with the whole armor of God, and you're supposed to stand there. Notice it didn't say for you to go in astral projection and have battle with demons in the heavens. It says to stand. And this is what I have to tell you. When you stand, the fight will come to you. Okay, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. They want to go out battling, and I tell them, if you stand for anything, if you stand for right and righteousness, believe me, the battle will come to you. But you need to be standing there, and you need to be armored and have on the whole armor of God. And so there is this spiritual side, and the area that this is taking place is here and now on this earth. And so understand that some of this pressure that you're under is this overall plan to make you busy or so busy and under so much pressure that your effectiveness for the Lord is diminished. It's a good plan. And I think it works pretty well. It does. It does. How many of you work harder than you should because you're worried about the future? Really, that's, you know, because you're worried, right? You're fearful. And yet the Lord told you, you know, he says he's going to clothe you, right, and do these things. I'm not saying not to consider the ant, thou sluggard, and have a savings account. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about going overboard on these things, right? Yeah, and so we need to. So there are some positive things about pressure, though, okay? How many of you ever gone public speaking anywhere? Okay, when you publicly speak, you're under pressure, right? Because you have all these people looking at you, some of them smiling, some of them frowning, some of them with a quizzical look like, what is this guy even talking about, man? And she's trying to interpret everything. She hears it in English, trying to interpret back into Chinese, and then bring it to your understanding, right? You're going, whoa, man. And yeah, it can be that way. And so there is positive things, and it boosts up, strengthens you a little bit. But how many of you ever went to publicly speak and there was so much pressure there that you couldn't get anything out of your mouth? You just went like that. So pressure, you're not into being a teacher to 1,000 people or something. Yeah. How many of you can handle that, standing in front of people? Yeah? Can, yeah. That you can handle that and speak like that, yeah. 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 Yeah, some people, it's very difficult. Okay, so progress, when it produces, pressure produces what? It says here, progress, when it feels a ship sails, power, when it turns on a generator, planes are able to maintain remain airborne. Now, I have to say that's an interesting thing because what is the pressure that keeps airplanes flying? Do you know what makes airplanes fly? Huh? It's air pressure, right? The shape of the wing forms a low air pressure on the top of the wing, and it's higher on bottom, and it lifts up, yeah? Yeah, that's right. Of course, you got to go through that air, right? Yeah. And so it says that pneumatics are possible by air pressure. Precious gems are produced by pressure. And we've even made synthetic diamonds now, haven't we? Yeah. Yeah, that's really something amazing to me. Took billions of years, and now they can do it in just a couple hours. Huh? Pretty amazing. Anyways, I don't believe in billions of years, as most of you probably know. Okay, pressure is productive when it produces achievement. So you're achieving, you're under a little pressure to do something, and you do achieve something, you accomplish something. There's nothing wrong with accomplishing things. Pressure produces progress, power, you know, the rest of it. And then under B, it says pressure is productive. When it promotes achievement, a deadline makes a measurement possible, procrastination is prevented or prevented. Any of you procrastinate? You procrastinate. Okay, now do you procrastinate the things that you love to do? No, normally, I found with people, anything that they want to do, they end up that they can do, right? But not that really, if they really want to do it. But procrastination. So what's the thing you're procrastinating with? No, you don't have to tell me. But it is procrastination. It's usually something we don't desire to do. So even solving our problems that we know we're overdone, we know it's having a physical, emotional, and spiritual effect on us, we know all this pressure is there, we know things have got to change, but we don't want to face the things that we need to change, so we procrastinate it. Well, next week, Monday, the week after, you know, whatever, we procrastinate on it, right? So you don't want to procrastinate if you... It's one of the good things about pressure. Let the Lord put a little pressure on you, and by that spiritual pressure, empowered by the Spirit of God, start to make the changes in your life so that you can have a relief of being overburdened. I'm going to warn you again. Really, now I'm not a prophet nor a son of a prophet, but if you are a high anxiety person, you are not going to like the effects that have on your body that are going to show themselves when you're most of the time when you're over 50. The result of that in your body really starts to show itself when you're over 50. And so, you know, make the changes now. Your body can heal itself. And it does a very good job of it when you're under 50. It still does it when you're over 50, but it's not as productive, right? And so do that. Make the changes now so that you don't have to deal with all the issues of high this and low this and everything that goes on, right? So I'm trying to encourage you. There is a prevention plan. It says here, don't overload. How many of you need my note? I'll write you a note. The pastor says, I can say no. Now, that doesn't mean no to the pastor. It means no to the other people, right? Don't overload. It says too much air in a tire creates a flat. I don't know if I completely like that one, but I can tell you it makes a rougher ride if you have too much air in a tire. It starts really pounding out hard. Don't overestimate your capacity. Remember, we've talked about this before. You are limited. Now, there's an opposite statement from most of the teaching. So I'm going to say something, and I'll say it again. You are limited. God has given you certain amounts of intelligence, right? Natural intelligence. And yes, you can take all the drugs, and you might be able to increase it a little bit. But the side effects of the drugs are there. You have certain physical strengths. Now, if you're strong and you exercise, you can increase that, but we are limited in certain physical, and you have certain spiritual giftedness. You got to stay within what God has given you. You have to know yourself. And how many of you know your limits? Okay, you need to understand what starts to happen. Does your body send you, I'll give you some hints here, right? Your body, when you're overdoing it, your body will send you messages, okay? Your digestive system will go out of whack. You'll start to shake. You'll have anxiety in your chest. All of these things are there. You'll have fragmented thoughts when you're over, you know, it's not cohesive. And those are warning signs warning you that you're over your limits. So what are you going to do about it? The answer is don't allow yourself to go over your limits. Okay? You have to understand this. And really, I'm talking from experience here because I have allowed myself to go over my limits. And we don't like the results of that. I can tell you I don't like the results of that. Because when you go over your limits, and if you exceed your limits too far, then you have the burnout, the breakdown, fried, they call it, you know, whatever it might be. You'll over-exercise. You know what I mean. You'll do many, many things. Don't overestimate your capacity. And then in Romans 12:3, it states this. Go ahead and who's next? Romans 12:3, please. Unless I put down the wrong reference, which is sometimes my habit. My mind is going above my other. Romans 12:3. Okay, I really pay attention to that and understand that he says, even he says it like this, for I say, through the grace given unto me. So he's working under the grace of God, all right? Okay, and he says that you're not to think more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly according to God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. A measure is, he's given some faith in this, some faith in that, and all the rest of it. And so it doesn't... I'm trying to get you to understand this. Don't overload. A compact cannot carry a pickup truck load, even though I have to tell you I've seen many people try to do that. And it says, overcommitment produces underachievement. And I believe that. When you're overcommitted, then you're beyond your capacities, and then you do not achieve what you're supposed to, or the quality of that achievement is diminished. Okay, so think about that just a little bit. It's better to do within your things, less things, but better or of higher quality than spreading yourself so thin that then you're doing a mediocre job in many areas. And so do that. Know when to say no. You know. And why do we mentioned it? Why don't we say no to some people or a lot of times is because we're fearful that, of being rejected. Or whatever it might be. But you need to learn to be able to say no. And it's not rebellion. It's not, you're not inferior. You're trying to stay within yourself. Believe me, I'm not trying to give you a license to procrastinate or be lazy. Okay, I think you ought to be as productive as God has gifted you to be productive. That's what he's after. Whether you've been given 10 talents, 5, or like the one that was given one, but erred. But if that one had given one and said, Lord, I have gained the one, he would have been just the same response as the one with 10 and 5. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But he hid that one talent. And that was the problem. And so understand that God has given you certain empowerment, and all he expects out of you is do what he's empowered you to do, physically, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually. And so do this. Do unload. Please don't unload on me, okay? Because I can't take anymore. No, my pressure cookers have release valve. Even God rested on the seventh day, and it said not that he needed it. And then he's given Mark 6, 30 through 34. Would you line through that reference? I don't like that reference there because he says, let us separate ourselves and because they've been busy, but then they ended up, if you read it in context, they didn't rest. They kept on going on. As a matter of fact, they kept on, they fed the thousands of people, and then at the end of the, I think it's 2 days later, then they finally were on the ship crossing the sea. And that's when they had a lack of faith there. But so I'd like you to go, when God rested the seventh day, Exodus 18:14. Why don't you write that one down? So we got Genesis, Exodus. And it's 18. And then verse 14. It says that when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning to evening?" And if you read that whole context, he needed to share his burden with other people. And so he had leaders of 10, leaders of 100, leaders of 1,000 to like share the burden. He stopped taking on all the burden. Now you're going to find that about a year and a half later after this, that the Lord divides a plan. This was his father-in-law that devised this plan. And the Lord devised a plan for Moses. And then it was called the Sanhedrin, the 70. And they were there. God did 70 to share that burden with Moses. And so then in Matthew 11:28, I got to get there. Come on, come on, come on, come on. There it is. Anybody there before me? If you are, just go ahead and Matthew 11:20.
That labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
That's a good verse, isn't it? And so there's a God way to find rest, is to give it unto the Lord and stop trying to take it on yourself. And you say, well, the Lord doesn't fix my vehicle, right? In a way, he does. He strengthens you to fix that vehicle, and I'm thankful for it. He's given you the power and the tools to do it. In 1 Kings 19:1-8, 1 Kings 19:1-8. We're going to just finish this in time, I hope. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, 1st and 2nd, 1st and 2nd, okay. Whoop, I'm in 2 Samuel. That isn't hacking it, is it? Okay, 1 Kings 19. Anybody else there? Go ahead.
1-8?
1-8, yeah.
Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done.
Oh, wait a second. I don't want to interrupt you, but I have to say this. Many of you are like this prophet. I was like this prophet, too. I've been there, done that. You have to really see what's going on here. He had just defeated a whole bunch of prophets of Baal, killed them all. Fire come down, took his sacrifice, right? He ran from that point all the way to town. Now, this is an old guy here, and he ran before the chariots, right? Okay, so you got to get the scene. Okay, go ahead.
And with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey unto the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not any better, for I am not better than my father."
Mm-hmm.
And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, "Arise and eat, and because the journey is too great for thee."
Mm-hmm.
And he arose, and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God.
Okay, so he come, and Jezebel was the wife of the king at that time, but he had just had this great victory, and then he ran very far. He got despondent, and then even from there he wanted to commit suicide, and then he went and he was totally wiped out. But the statement is, the way is too far for thee. Okay, in other words, what God has planned for you in life is too far for you to handle in your own strength. You need to be strengthened by the Lord. You need to follow his principles if you're going to complete that course. And so you want to do that. So it is too great for thee. So trust in the Lord. Rest as he has said. God did not make man for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man. Okay, there's a great difference for there. He's trying to tell you to rest. There is time that you need to rest. And people's rest is different. Many people, their rest is different. Now, I'd like to show you something here. It says, do something different. Okay, for me, it is restful for me. I think many of you know that now one of my thinkings is that I work on chainsaws, right? Okay, it is not work for me. You don't seem to understand. People don't understand this. When I'm out there working on a saw, I can do mechanical work like that, and I could be tearing something apart and doing that. And my mind is actually, I could be thinking about other things. I find it relaxing because something is broken and I'm fixing it. And I like fixing things, right? So I fix it. And it's not like work to me. So when people say rest, and some might want to veg out and some might want to read a book, right? But some of us, we like to tinker at something, and it does give us a restful spirit. And I can do that. I can think of other things while I'm doing it until I start it. But, you know, that kind of thing. And so you've got to find something that gives you rest. And like I said, some with other people, it's there. But don't so overdo it that it becomes a problem. Do something different. Have a hobby. Take a break. Hobbies are something that you enjoy. Beekeeper, right? It's enjoyable. And it is restful for you. Like I said, it doesn't need to be with your feet propped up, even though there's nothing wrong with adequate sleep. Are you getting adequate sleep? If your life is so busy that your sleep is broken, then you've got a problem. Okay, that's one of those warning signs. You need to be able to rest. Okay, and then you need to be able and commune with God. And I'm very thankful. I have to tell you, when I'm doing this with the Lord, I got to quickly. I got to stop. Commune with God. Elijah did. Our Savior did. We need to, right? We need to commune to God. And it says here at the conclusion, the Lord instructed his disciples to come apart and then line through apart unto a desert place. And with the references that I chose, you can write in there, the Lord instructed his disciples to come unto him. And I will give you rest. That's what he instructed them. Quiet away from pressure. If we are to survive the pressures of the 20th century, it is essential that we follow the master's advice. And then they have this saying here, we must come apart before we come apart, right? Okay? And do that. So really, judge your own self in this matter. Is your body telling you you're overloaded? Broken sleep, digestive problems, nerves, shakes, anxieties, unstableness of thinking, right? You're fragmented in your thoughts. Your body's trying to tell you something physically. You're overloaded and you need to roll back, okay? Spiritually, think about these things and then apply it and then make changes, one change at a time, okay? You pray to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I know I'm a mess. Right? And I don't even know where to begin to correct this, and ask him to give you direction and he'll lead you. Okay? Start here. Do this. And then you have victory in that. Then you go and do this and do that and have victory. And you'll get into that balance of what God has given you with the pressures that we have. And we have pressures unlike any other generation before us. Anyways. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for so great salvation. And Lord, bless us now as we go our way. Amen.